Let the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be for good pleasure in thy sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. Amen. He who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Imagine that you unexpectedly received a large bequest from your father, maybe a beautiful piece of land with a lovely house and quite a bit of money. Suppose, too, that the estate came with a letter expressing your father's love and his respect for the way you had led your life. This is the picture the Lord gives us at the end of the book of Revelation. He calls those who overcome in temptations his sons or children, and he bestows a great inheritance on them because he loves them. Now, the problem is that we also receive an inheritance of weaknesses towards evils via our parents and ancestors. This inheritance is opposite to the one the Lord wants to give us. We need to overcome these weaknesses and be reborn, so that we become not the children of our natural ancestry, but the children of our Heavenly Father. Then we can inherit from Him. Meanwhile, though, the evil spirits try to manipulate us by our weaknesses. They lead us to covet merely natural and worldly short-term rewards of pleasures, honors, and affluence. They also accuse us of weakness and sin, trying to inspire despair of ever coming into heaven. They urge us to settle for much, much less. Being in the middle between the influence of hell dragging us down and angels sent by the Lord drawing us up, we have to choose to make a real choice between our old inheritance and the new heritage from the Lord. We see the theme of overcoming evil in order to receive an inheritance from the Lord all through the scriptures. Yehovah made a covenant with Abraham and renewed it with Isaac and Jacob. He promised two things: that Abraham would have many heirs, and that he would give the land of Canaan as an inheritance to all of Abraham's heirs. Yehovah said to Abram, "Look now toward heaven, and count the stars if you are able to number them, so shall your seed be." And he said to him, "I am Yehovah, who brought you out of Ur of the Chaldees to give you this land to inherit it." In the spiritual sense, the promised land is heaven, and the Lord wants all of us to be his heirs. But this promise could not be fulfilled until 400 years later. Joshua's troops had to overcome the peoples and nations already living there. Those nations worshipped idols, practiced human sacrifice, wicked kinds of magic, prostitution and sodomy in the name of religion, and other foul things. They needed to be driven out. Over and over, Joshua and the children of Israel saw that Yehovah was fighting for them and giving them victory. By themselves, they would have been quickly overrun by the much more numerous enemy nations in the land and blotted off the face of the earth. They learned to say, in the words of the psalm, "Not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy, for the sake of thy truth." Like the children of Israel, we are weak, and conquering the promised land is a daunting task. But the Lord gives us affections for what is good and true, and then he arms us with truths from his word. He fights for us while empowering us to fight as if from ourselves. He enables us to take possession of ourselves, that is, to get control of our actions and of our emotions. And to establish the worship of the Lord as the center of our life. Through temptations, we see over and over that the victory is the Lord's alone, something we could never have achieved. So the land is really a free gift, an inheritance from our Father. Wonderfully, we get to choose it and to work to receive it and to cultivate and inhabit it. But the more we achieve, the more we realize we've done nothing from ourselves. And the more grateful we are that everything about ourselves that we value is a free gift from the Lord. In fact, our talents are all the Lord's talents, and we are simply investing and using them for Him. Under Joshua, each tribe and clan and household received its own portion in the land. Some tribes received uplands, wooded hills, good for grazing sheep and planting vineyards. Others received lowland valleys near the Jordan or the sea, fertile places, good for crops such as wheat and barley. Each person's heaven is distinct from everyone else's. The Lord prepares a place for each of us in heaven in accordance with our free choices. In the New Testament, too, the Lord lays out a choice between earthly inheritance and the heavenly one. Once a rich young man came to Jesus. Perhaps he was wealthy because of an inheritance from his father. He asked, "Good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life?" Part of the Lord's answer was, "Sell whatever you have and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, take up the cross and follow me." Another man said, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But Jesus answered, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." Another time the Lord said, "Everyone who has left houses or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake, for my name's sake, shall receive 100-fold and inherit eternal life." From the heavenly doctrine, we know that the Lord doesn't mean we should literally sell all we have or abandon our families. In the spiritual sense, these things all represent evil and false things from our inherited weaknesses and our poor choices. In particular, natural wealth in a bad sense represents pride in our own intelligence, our skills, and our prudence, and also a sense of merit and entitlement for our own righteousness. Clearly, we need to get rid of these things in order to receive a heavenly inheritance. But the spiritual sense agrees with the literal sense also in this way. If we imagine that happiness consists in houses and lands and the abundance of things, and are covetous of worldly possessions, we cannot inherit eternal life, because things are not what make heaven heavenly. So the Lord said, "Seek first the kingdom of heaven and its justice, and all these things will be added to you." An example recently in the news of confusion between earthly and heavenly goals is a report of evidence that having children makes people happy. This contradicts earlier reports that happiness goes down under the stresses of caring for children. But the point of having children is not to make the parents happy, but rather to serve the Lord and His kingdom. Happiness is not something we can pursue directly. Instead, it is the byproduct of living a good life following the Lord. When we seek first the kingdom of God and His justice, happiness and contentment are added to us. At the end of the scriptures, we come to the New Jerusalem with its beautiful, golden, yet transparent walls and streets set with gems and pearls, and a river clear as crystal with the tree of life growing there. This is an image of the happiness the Lord wants to provide as an inheritance for each of us. John heard a great voice from heaven expressing the urgency of the Lord's love. It said, "Behold, The tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people, and God himself shall be with them and be their God. The Lord wants to be with us, to be close to us, if only we will let him. The Lord will pitch his tabernacle or tent among our tents. He would like to move in right on our street. Can we picture having the Lord living on our street? They shall be his people means that they shall be his family, his children, his relatives, and closest friends. This is the kind of intimate relationship the Lord wants to have with us, and that is now possible since we have the heavenly doctrine. Eternal life, pictured by the holy city and the promised land, is very much like an inheritance. We receive it unexpectedly, in the sense that heaven is much more wonderful than we can imagine. It is not earned. It simply comes down out of the love and generosity of our Heavenly Father. The Arcana says, "The Lord loves all as a father loves his sons and wishes to make all people heirs and provides an inheritance for those yet to be born as well as for those born already. They are called possessors and heirs, not by merit, but from mercy." It's true that we have to overcome bad habits and attitudes to receive eternal life, but the Lord gives us everything we need to win and leads us through. So heaven is not something we earn, but something we learn to accept as a free gift out of the mercy of our Lord. The Lord wants us to keep praying and working to enter as fully as possible into the heavenly land of our inheritance. That means entering even into the higher heavens by living according to the Word. The happiness of the highest heavens is what the Lord really wants to give us, although he allows us to accept as much or as little as we choose. We read, "Out of divine love or mercy, the Lord wills to have everyone near himself, so that they do not stand outside," that is, in the first heaven. His will is that they should dwell in the third heaven, and if possible, not merely with him, but abiding in him. We have a tendency to settle for less, for something external, not something we love with our whole heart. It may seem safer. The less we strive for, the less we will be disappointed. We might be happy to settle on remaining in a sense of merit, or even just learning doctrine without much connection to life. We tend to say, "I'll be lucky if I barely squeak by and get into heaven at all." Now that would be true if it were up to us and our efforts. We'd get nowhere. But we should not underestimate the Lord. Heaven is not something we earn up. It's a free gift, an inheritance from our Father. The question is, are we willing to have the Lord draw us closer to him? Are we willing to give up some things and overcome some things in order to serve him? Can we trust the Lord with our lives so that we're willing to risk giving up certain short-term pleasures and thereby receive huge and eternally growing rewards? This is the real purpose of the internal sense of the word and the deeper truths the Lord has now given us. First, to lead us out of hell, out of the old inheritance of selfishness and worldliness, and then into heaven, and not just the natural heaven, but the spiritual and celestial heavens as well. The Lord does not want us to be stuck in the dreary life of imagining that we must earn enough credits to go to heaven. The Lord wants us to dream of a marriage that doesn't just scrape by, but that is a 10. He wants us to think of making a real difference for our children, preparing them to be strong soldiers to overcome their spiritual challenges, with the example of mom's and dad's lifetime of experience following the Lord. We can dream of a church, a school, and a community where people support each other in following the Lord, sharing ideas how to cooperate with him better and how to flee and stay away from sins that we all incline to. That's why the Lord gives us the heavenly doctrine, to teach us the kind of people we can be. Especially, he teaches us that love to the Lord and charity toward the neighbor are the most important things in anyone or in any organization. When we pursue these loves with all our heart, then we can become like children who love each other and live as brothers and call each other brothers. We can leave points of disagreement to each person's conscience, provided they don't deny the first principles, the Lord, eternal life, and the Word, and provided those opinions are not contrary to divine order, to the precepts of the Decalogue. And then the Lord's kingdom will come. We can inherit all things from our Father, even in this life. So we can overcome our spiritual enemies and conquer the promised land by working with the Lord in our individual regeneration, by turning away from covetousness and looking toward our eternal inheritance. We become instruments for the Lord to use in bringing the new Jerusalem down from heaven onto the earth. In his mercy and strength, we can repent, thereby allowing the Lord to gradually replace our weaknesses with his strong wisdom and love. We can be reborn from him and from his word, and thus become his sons and heirs. The Lord will then be able to fulfill the great desire of his love and the prophecy in the book of Revelation: he who overcomes shall inherit all things, and I will be his God, and he shall be my son. Amen. Now to the one only God, Jesus Christ our Lord, be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen.